Good morning. I'm going to call the order of the Board of Supervisors meeting for January 12, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. The first thing on our agenda tonight is some animal adoptions from our animal services. Stanislaus County's Animal Services Agency has many dogs and cats available for adoption. All of these animals are available for adoption at the shelter and are spayed and neutered with the age-appropriate vaccinations and have a microchip. We have two pets here today that are available for adoption. They are Savannah and Flea. Let me start. I didn't give them their names. So we're going to be doing these adoptions throughout the year, the adoption presentations on the second meeting of our month. So we'll start with our featured cat today, Savannah. She's a 2-year-old female, long-haired, turquoise-colored cat. She is warm, loving, and an indoor cat who is looking for a new forever home. Savannah has been at the shelter since November of last year. Take a good look at her. She's in the cage there, so she's a little shy. Turquoise, yeah, tortoise. Oh yeah, tortoise. Tortoise colored cat. I have a pet tortoise. Napoleon. Okay, now we will move to our featured dog, Flea. Flea is a 3-month-old male tri-colored Parsons Russell Terrier. He is a very energetic young fellow who will bring years of joy to the lucky person who makes him their own. Flea has been at the animal shelter for 2 weeks. Let's see, Flea, it's a good name for him. Yeah, both animals are available today for adoption at the Stanislaus Animal Shelter Agency. Please remember that adding a new member to your family is a big commitment, and the shelter staff are there to help you make your new best friend, meet your new best friend. To adopt either of these animals or any other animals, please visit the animal shelter at 3647 Cornucopia Way in Modesto or call the animal shelter. Their phone number is 558-7387. And you can view the animals available for adoption at the website at stancounty.com/animalservices. So please visit these animals at the shelter. If you like a little larger dog, if that suits your best needs, just come down to the shelter. We have a lot of animals for adoption. We, as an agency, try to promote adoption for these animals. Okay, thank you for Animal Services for bringing those today. Let us know how long it takes to get these animals adopted next month. Okay, we will now move to public comment period. This is the time when anybody can speak to any issue that they like that is not on the agenda. I don't have any requests for speakers. Anybody like to make public comment today? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. We have one request to pull item B5 for a separate vote. Does anybody else on the board like to pull an item for a separate vote? Anybody from the audience wish to pull an item? Okay, they'll entertain a motion to accept the consent calendar except for item B5.
I'll make a motion to approve consent calendar.
There's a second.
Second.
Okay, motions have been made and seconded. We approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried. Now move to agenda item B5.
Mr. Chairman, I request that item B5 be pulled for a separate vote. I wish to abstain from this item today. Not too many people know, including people in this dais, that Mr. Walter Ward is related to me. He is married to my aunt. And although this is not a legal conflict of interest, as I have no financial ties to Mr. Ward, it's a perception issue. And so I wish to abstain from this. I have not participated in any of the selection process, interview process, or the screening process of applicants. And I have not had any communication with Mr. Ward during this process as well. But just for perception issue, I wish to abstain from this. And again, it's not a legal conflict of interest. I have no financial ties to it.
Okay.
So move.
Okay, motion's been made to approve item B5. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion on this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried. Okay, we will now move to agenda item B7. The staff report.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Patricia Hill-Thomas from the Executive Office. Happy New Year. With me is Dr. Madeline Schiffler, our Director of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, and Josh Ewing from the Executive Office. We are pleased to be here today. This is another significant step in adopting and implementing your board's strategic plan for mental health care in our community. Just if you will allow me, as you always are very gracious in doing, I want to recognize the efforts of a number of people who have been working through what has been a very difficult and challenging issue. And I'd like to start both with the board's Health Executive Committee, Supervisors O'Brien and Supervisors Withrow, and in the earlier days, the board's Capital Facilities Committee, Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor Monteith, in your guidance, your questions, and your challenges to us as we implement a fairly strategic and challenging change of services and partnerships in our community. I'd really also like to recognize the work of our County Department of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, led by Madeline, Adrian Carroll, Linda Downs, who you allowed us to bring back to complete our PUF project, which we're almost done, and Dan Wirtz, the new business manager in BHRS. I'd also like to recognize the efforts of the Health Services Agency, Mary Ann Lee and Dr. Walker, Dr. Gail Morris, the county's medical director on the health side, and Dr. Uday Mukherjee for our medical director for behavioral health. I'd like to recognize the efforts of Sheriff Christensen, who is helping us navigate the crosswalk between the criminal justice side and the mental health services side in our community. I would like to recognize the CEO staff, including the 11 o'clock last night correction team, and all of their efforts. Mark Lozier, Josh Ewing, Cindy Tomlinson, Pete Duenas, Sandy Regalo. They are a great team. They do a great job. And I'm going to show you some pictures of the nearly completed PUF in a moment. So to the Capital Projects team, Van Switzer, Randy Cavanaugh, Teresa Vanderveen, Elsa Biedenwick, and Leticia Lomelli, and the whole team that supports your efforts, a great job. In a moment, I'll introduce you to some hospital representatives who are going to come to the podium and speak as well. We couldn't be here today if we were working in a silo. And I know that I speak on behalf of our whole team that the support of our local hospitals, led by Doctors Medical Center, Memorial Medical Center, and Emmanuel Hospital, has been phenomenal through some what has not been an easy cakewalk, a very challenging, honest discussion about the needs in our community and how we best meet them. So if I don't choke, today we want to update you on the plans to implement our implementation of the strategic plan, our partnership activities. Thank you, Christine. Show you some pictures of our nearly completed psychiatric health facility. This part was not planned. And ask you to allow us to seek funding for a crisis stabilization unit funded by the Mental Health Investment and Mental Health Act, and to recognize the support of our hospitals. Pardon me. We showed you this quilt. We often speak about quilting together services, programs, and challenges. And I think we show it to you again today because this is an effort that has to do with our local hospitals, particularly Doctors Medical Center and the fortunate position we're in the county to have a psychiatric inpatient facility previously owned by the county, now owned by DMC, called Doctors Behavioral Health Center. the county, all of the hospitals shown in the middle, the need for crisis stabilization, the need for more inpatient care at a lower and appropriate level, and the need for aftercare. And with today's actions, we have pretty much checked all the boxes on the to-do list for the strategic plan efforts. You know the story here, a tremendous increase in the last couple of years in psychiatric inpatient hospitalizations, tremendous increase in the cost, nearly using all of the funds that the mental health programs had set aside for all program stabilization simply to pay for inpatient care. The benefit of having an inpatient hospital, but the demand for a lower level and less costly level of care when appropriate. You know the numbers, and we watch them every day, even in the executive office, the number of patients in the inpatient facility and in out-of-county placements. And I know that you know. You saw in the strategic plan, and you showed real interest in the fact that we are not alone in the state or in the nation in a crisis in being underserved in programs and facilities and capacity to meet the needs for the patients and clients and citizens that are in mental health crisis. We have some good news on the horizon as the Affordable Care Act is implemented. We have, with your approval, some extra resources at the Community Services Agency, very focused on getting these patients, these clients, eligible for Medi-Cal, which will reduce the county's cost for providing services. And we know that we have a safety net also exhibited in the quote that we need to maintain at all levels. I am just very pleased to show you three letters on the screen and to introduce you to two really important partners of ours, Mr. Darren Kumar, the CEO of Memorial Medical Center, and also Mr. Tony Barton, the administrator for Doctors Behavioral Health Center. Every one of these, along with Emmanuel Medical Center, and we expect other hospitals, have stepped forward to support the recommendations before you today and to provide a financial contribution toward those programs to allow us to receive the kind of consideration at the state level that we think our efforts and our programs deserve. So, Mr. Chairman, if I may I ask Mr. Kumar and then Mr. Barton to come to the podium for a moment.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Well, I'm very proud to be standing in front of you here today. One, as the CEO of Memorial Medical Center, this is my county. I grew up in this county as a kid, and 2 years ago ended up coming back here. And, you know, when we talk about mental health issues, I'm sure you're all aware, mental health issues are huge throughout our county, throughout our organizations, our medical centers. You know, we're getting hit with the flu crisis right now, and our emergency departments are extremely full, but we're also full with mental health patients that are sitting in our emergency departments waiting for placements. So programs like this will truly help us take care of those patients. You know, being a not-for-profit organization within Sutter Health, Memorial Medical Center invests community benefit dollars each and every year into areas that need help, and mental health is definitely an area when we do our community needs assessment that truly needs help and truly needs funds towards that. We're pleased to be able to invest with the county in programs like these, and I'm very fortunate. Even though I grew up in Stanislaus County, most of my health care career has been outside of Stanislaus County, and I haven't worked in an organization that's had such a strong partnership with the county as we have in Stanislaus County to be able to do that. So one of the reasons we're able to invest our community benefit dollars with the county to provide these services is because we've got a true partner within the county to meet the needs of our patients in our community and keeping our community healthy. So very proud to be part of the group to be able to look forward and take care of the mental health in our community. So thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm pleased also to be here as the Administrator of Doctors Behavioral Health Center and Chief of Behavioral Health Services for Doctors Medical Center. I, too, hold the proud position of being a long-term member of this county and raised here. Of course, I'm the hybrid model because I started with the county mental health system and then went into the Doctors Medical Center. However, the importance of today's topic is the fact of shortage of mental health services all over the country, and the fact that we were able to, as a community, come together and form a partnership where it continues to take steps for betterment of mental health services in our community. I'm proud to have the opportunity to participate in that, And on behalf of Doctors Medical Center also, we are proud to continue our partnership with the county in support of the county strategic plan, as well as creation of the Crisis Stabilization Unit, and we're happy to submit our contribution. Thank you very much.
Thank you both. A little bit of history. Thank you. Back in May of 12, we asked the local hospitals to come to the table, and indeed today demonstrates another reason why we are so fortunate to have them here. Thank you both to Memorial Medical Center and Doctors Behavioral Health for being here today. We had a lot of late night discussions and a lot of challenges to create a strategy that was custom to our community and that talked about recovery and aftercare. Go ahead, Josh. You know the story about the admissions. We've had over 40 a day at the cost of the care of inpatient, which is not always the appropriate placement, but a placement available because nothing else exists in the community. We asked your board last November to adopt the strategic plan. We presented that to you and you embraced it. And we've made significant progress today to not only improve capacity but to create some of the alternatives that we present to you today. We really want to tell you about how we are implementing your strategic plan. There were three goals, as you recall: develop increased capacity for 24/7 care and appropriate levels of additional capacity, assess the opportunities for creating community crisis stabilization services. Uniformly, all of the stakeholders in this last couple of years has identified that a need to create crisis stabilization and then to develop aftercare strategies. On goal number one, we are almost there. We are about 6 days away from substantial completion of a repurposed county facility, the old Memorial Hospital site in Ceres. I was in the facility last night at 6:30. It is fantastic. Simile Construction in Modesto, California couldn't have done a better job. Our capital projects team is working with the contractor to complete the construction. As you know, there's a 16-bed limit in order to get Medi-Cal function, and the facility has that. This graphic shows you the site out in Ceres, the front building of that what we call Ceres Recovery Center. In most recent years, was used with your board's approval for clean and sober living, while our Valley Recovery Resource Partners built up to be able to acquire more clean and sober facilities. This vacant and used county facility at the time was able to be turned into a 16-bed psychiatric health facility. Here's some photographs, both inside and outside of the facility. We show you some of the interiors. There were workers and craftsmen in the building last night in the evening when I went, and they have just done a phenomenal job creating this place that will, we believe, make change in the lives of many in our community. We will open on March 1st, as we told you. We seek your authority today to host an appropriate public dedication open house. We'd like to have that on the 25th of February. The PUF will be a place to directly admit clients that don't have emergencies. And again, I want to emphasize the help that Sheriff Christensen is giving us to work with law enforcement, because we will now have a second what's called 5150 location where individuals that are committed can be taken to directly, as opposed to doctors' hospital's emergency room, which has continued to experience significant pressure and intensity with the number of patients there. So that is a win-win for all of us. And your boards have already approved the contract with Telecare that will be the operator of the PUF. Our second goal was to look for stabilization opportunities. The story is really compelling here, not only in the delays in every one of our hospital emergency rooms. A week ago Monday, we met with all of our community hospitals, Kaiser, Oak Valley, Emmanuel, Doctors, Memorial, and the stories, recent stories from the night before and the day before and the week before about the compaction in the emergency room and the lack of placement for individuals that need this kind of care are very compelling, and they affect us all. They affect the whole community that needs emergency care. So those delays in creating opportunity for placement and evaluation, just given the sheer numbers, Madeline and her team have done a phenomenal job at building a stronger emergency response team with incredible response times to our hospitals, and I really want to recognize your efforts for that. That's been a challenge. So we know that creating a crisis stabilization system and creating it next to the PUF will be wonderful, but you were gracious enough to allow us to create an interim crisis intervention program, slightly different, not the same level of clinicians at all, cannot prescribe medications, right across from Doctors Medical Center. And there have been good days and not so good days with that SIP, but we have seen the numbers now since you allowed us to create that in October, and we have definitely saved money and saved individuals in getting them into different opportunities and created capacity at the inpatient facility, which Mr. Barton, I believe, will tell you has been very full for the people that need that level of care. So as we promised, we'll close that interim crisis intervention program when we open the PUF. You also gave us approval of an interim plan to put a modular facility next to our PUF site so that we can take the portions of crisis intervention that will continue until we have crisis stabilization and Madeline's emergency response team so that we have a full service location at the PUF site in series operational on March 1st. So where are we today? I want to just show you a couple of more drawings. This again is back to the series location, and the front box shows you where the PUF is located. The next box down below, and I'm sorry we're low on the screen there, is where the modular facility will go that you've already authorized. And the next drawing will show you that an existing facility at the site, previously part of a hospital, will be available for a 4-bed crisis stabilization unit and possibly expandable in the future should ultimately that decision be made. It is my pleasure to both thank and turn this over to Dr. Schiffler, who will take you through the rest of our recommendations.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, board members, Mr. Risen, and Mr. Doering. I'm very pleased to be here today to talk a little bit about our second strategic goal and how we're managing to accomplish that. That was probably one of the most difficult goals of the three strategic goals to accomplish because of the funding and finding the money to do that, to do the capital piece of it as well as the staffing. In the midst of this, came along Steinberg's in SB 82, the Mental Health Wellness Act of 2013, which provides funds to improve the crisis access and be able to prevent people from having to go into a higher level of care, which for many people that's not what they need. They just need some time to sit with someone and talk with them so that they can work out a plan that does not require them to be admitted to a facility. This particular opportunity had several pieces to it. The first was the triage personnel grant, which provided staffing and mobile support and triage personnel. We did apply for that with your authority to, I think it's close to $1 million in operations for this. This particular group of folks will be actually able to go to places where people often turn up when they're in crisis so that we can catch them early. They'll also be able to continue some of the work that the third leg of our three goals, the aftercare, to augment that. Currently, that's pretty limited to folks that come out of Doctors Behavioral Health Center. And this group would be able to look at other sites and try to see if they could coordinate aftercare, make sure people follow up. The capital funding piece of SB 82, which is the current grant opportunity that we're looking at, provides funding for construction and renovation of a facility to provide the crisis stabilization unit services. We're proposing $1.9 million request in grant funds out of the $2 million that our size of county would be allocated or would be have the option to apply for. It is clear that the authors of this bill are interested in individuals applying for these funds and not applying for them to many would seem that there's no need. So we're pleased that we're able to put together a plan to do so. On December 16th last year, the Health Executive Committee of the Board of Supervisors, Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor Withrow, were updated on the recommendations for applying for this funding. We have, as I mentioned, submitted the triage personnel grant in a timely fashion, and we are waiting to see what will happen with our grant application. We also are expecting that we will hear sometime in the spring on that. They haven't been very clear as to when they're going to let us know about the outcome of that. The SBA 2 capital funding piece has three funding categories: the crisis stabilization services, crisis residential services, and mobile crisis support teams. We're opting to apply for the first one, the crisis stabilization services. In the past, we had a crisis residential service, which was not as effective as I think it could have been, and there's some concern that there would still be an issue with that, so we're choosing not to apply for that. The state is also, or CHAFA, is also looking to have collaborations between counties. So crisis residential service is something that could be a collaboration because you don't have to be right near to other options to use that. But that still is a difficult choice, and I think our money is, our request is better spent on number one. The mobile crisis support teams was, again, not exactly tailored to how we want to do business here, so we, again, chose not to apply for that piece. Upon approval of the board, we will pursue the funding for the construction and startup costs of a crisis stabilization unit. Typically, this unit is allowed to have people at that unit for up to 23 hours. It's usually a great amount of time to make a decision as to whether someone is going to clear and be able to be discharged or need to be actually admitted to the psychiatric health facility or doctor's behavioral health center. We will have individuals there who are able to work with them. As Ms. Hill-Thomas mentioned, with the current crisis intervention program, we're not able to have medical staff, nurses, and psychiatry, so we're not able to prescribe medications. And many times, that's exactly what somebody needs. They come in, they haven't been taking their medications, they've decompensated, and we just need to get them back on their medications, and they are able to avoid a hospitalization. We would often also pair that with perhaps one of our respite options or transitional housing. The funding for this grant will allow us to renovate an existing wing of a very old building at that facility, much like we were able to renovate the building that is going to house the psychiatric health facility. We have had a number of our alcohol and drug treatment programs in this particular building. We're not using this wing at this time. Several years ago, we had to severely cut our alcohol and drug budget, and we were not able to continue providing straight residential services for substance use persons with substance use issues. So we've had this area which we can use for this purpose, and it will not interfere with our substance use treatment services. It will include 8 client interview rooms. It will include, start out with 1 client treatment room, which is the area that the actual CSU is located. There'll be a nice waiting area for clients and families. And we will have our warm line support services. down there as well. This is a very unique service. Mostly they've been talking to people on the phone to see if someone who has the lived experience of experiencing mental health issues or is a family member of one who has had those issues can just kind of talk people on the phone and kind of calm them down. This will allow them to actually do some of the peer support and intervention services. I think it's often helpful to talk to someone who's been through the experience and assure you that you can get through it, that you can get into recovery. At this time, the CSU will be able to serve 4 people at a time, which doesn't sound like a lot, but again, many of them clear up fairly quickly and are able to be discharged. So it's at any one time we can have 4. You know, we've had a very interesting path with our crisis intervention program. It's taken us several months to really get it up to the capacity that we've actually had 4 people in it at any one time. A number of reasons for that, and we've just stuck to it. So I think what we've learned is really going to be helpful for us to keep the crisis stabilization unit full. There will be obviously a direct link to the psychiatric health facility, so when individuals are not able to be stabilized, we're able to quickly admit them. I think this has been the advantage of having the services all located at one site. And it is true that not everyone that we admit to the crisis stabilization unit will clear. It's not expected that that will happen all the time. It happens in a large percentage of it, but there are some that do not. As Ms. Patricia L. Thomas mentioned at the January 7th hospital meeting, she requested financial support from local hospitals to support the development, and as we mentioned today, we have had 3 hospitals pledge support. I have also talked with another hospital, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to receive a letter of support, if not a financial contribution. But I know that both the other hospitals were interested in looking at that possibility. Again, these are the views of the wing that will house the crisis stabilization unit. It basically was a residential wing, so there's these individual rooms that used to house 4 people. That will be mostly kept the same, but they will be modified. Some of the walls will be taken out. You have Moving on. Okay, so here is the proposed uses of the crisis stabilization unit and the proposed sources of funding for that. This is our proposed timeline. In the spring again, we would be notified of the funding. Now, these 2 grants, the TRIAS personnel and this one, they go to 2 different agencies, so they're independent of each other. One of them is the Mental Health Services Oversight and Accountability Commission, which is doing the triage personnel, and this is the CHFSA, which I don't always know what that stands for, but something about California, something, housing, financial, whatever. Anyway, we will know from, they also say they will notify us in the spring. In July, we hope to have board approval for a construction contract. If we do receive that grant, we hope to complete it in November and have the furniture and everything in place in January and open in February. During this entire period of time, we will continue to have the crisis intervention program located down there in the modular unit with the crisis emergency response team. They will require startup personnel, and so we have anticipated around $466,600 in funds for this. And we expect that many of these services will actually be Medi-Cal covered, many of them at 100%. So we are certainly expecting that there will be sustainability beyond the 90 days. So just a brief update on the Plan 3. This was the one that was really aftercare. There were two parts to that that we came to you twice in 2013, once in January and once in June. The first one was to expand the contract, Telecare's contract, so that they could develop a discharge team that would specifically pick up all of the county clients as they're discharged from Doctors Behavioral Health Center, follow them, make sure they connect with whatever they were supposed to connect with, they get their medications. They were also charged with being the individuals who would be called back should those individuals reappear in the emergency room at Doctors Behavioral at Doctors Medical Center. We believe that this this piece is really showing some effect. We have had a slowly declining census for the admissions, both in county and out of county. We are really not clear if it's all the SIP or all the discharge team, but something is working or beginning to work, and we're really pleased with that. The other piece was a respite, expansion of our respite housing at Garden Gate. We doubled the bedside beds there so that we would have more space to put people in respite care, which gives them a safe place to be and people there to work with them. We have I just want to definitely thank Ms. Hill Thomas and her team and the CEO and all of the support the board has given us for this tremendous effort at trying to reduce our inpatient utilization and develop other resources and capacity to manage that. So very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have four recommendations to you today to allow us to submit the application for SB 82 funding for $1.9 million for the establishment of the Crisis Stabilization Unit. Secondly, to authorize the Executive Office to accept these donations from our local hospital partners. Third, to authorize the project manager to plan and host a public dedication event for the opening of the psychiatric health facility. And finally, to authorize us to negotiate and sign contracts, work authorizations, et cetera, to begin the capital effort, so long as they're within the board's approved budget. We will wait for the approval. We'll be optimistic of this grant award and bring back all of the construction-related actions to your board for your final consideration. With that, we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions of the board? Supervisor Keyes.
Very nice. You had said Medi-Cal, when we sign these people up, ACA, is it full reimbursement or is it a portion like most medical insurances?
You know, actually, the Medicaid expansion, Medi-Cal expansion in California, for newly eligible, which many of our folks are, they're childless and they are below 138% of poverty, will be covered 100%. For the first 3 years of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. So for those individuals, it's 100% of the cost for Medi-Cal. If they are on disability, they would be 50% covered. So those that are current clients who might already be on Social Security disability, they would be 50% covered. But what we've found is that there's a whole bunch of individuals coming into the ER we've never seen before, never had any contact with before. So our expectation is that there would be a significant percentage of them that would be 100% covered for 3 years. After that, it slowly titrates down to 10% over the next 3 years after that. So for six years from now, the match will be 10%. Of the cost.
Okay. You want me to comment now? Question.
Questions or comments, whoever wants to speak.
I guess I have a comment. And I think about this, and we've been talking about this for years and years now, and we're finally there. We're finally at this point. And right now, if someone has a psychotic episode, they either end up in jail, the emergency room, or the acute care facility. And as we've gone through this continuum of care, I don't even see part of this is not even a part of the continuum of care. It's realizing that there was a need for subacute level at a lower cost. And I think now that everyone, I think we've all recognized it, but now there's some money on the table. And I have to speak to our partners from the local hospitals. Although some might say that the contribution's not enough, it's huge. And the scheme of things, when we talk about going for grants, seeing that you're invested along with us in the health and welfare of the population, I think speaks volumes. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work. And again, this is just another step. And maybe it was a donut hole that we were missing, but I think we're going to have the whole continuum of care. And speaking of which, I look at the numbers, 19 is what we averaged essentially 2 years ago into the acute care, up to 40 last year. And there's probably different schools of thought here, but AB 109 population, the realigned population, has to have something to do with that. And as the board continues to push for more funding for AB 109, and because you go into jail and there are people that probably shouldn't be in the jail, or people that shouldn't be in our acute care facility, here's an opportunity to head them off, hopefully, so they don't end up in one of those three junctions in the emergency room, in the acute care facility, or in our jail. So thank you for this, and I fully support this.
Hey, Supervisor Littrow.
I'm going to echo on Vito's words here. Just a couple quick questions for you guys here. With the SIP that we, you know, across the street from doctors, I mean, it's great the care and stuff that we're giving the human side, but on the dollar side, did we cover our rent, you think, for that period of time by less admittance into DBH? Have you guys done anything like that to see how many did we keep out of the...
We have tracked, and not only does it come from behavioral health, but the CEO team looks at these numbers every day. This is how important it is to us. And we've had some days, as Madeline and I both said, that it was slow to get going, and we appreciate the cooperation of DMC in working with us and the BHRS team in making it safe to move across the street to get people in the right place. So we've had some 0 days, but we've had some 4-at-a-time days. Okay. This is an up to 23. So we'll give you that number, but yes, we covered our rent.
Perfect, good deal. That's very good. And then the same thing as we get into the crisis stabilization unit, you talk about the amount of people that will be cleared, which means they don't end up, I guess, going onto the PUF or to the... It'd be great to we'll track that, too, to see, you know, how we're paying for this thing, how this does make sense financially for us. So, you know, and I know it will. I just want us to, you guys to be able to present that to us and to the public so we can see that. So,
yes, that's certainly our focus is on outcomes and making sure that we track that sort of thing very definitely.
Okay, great. And then the last thing I just don't understand you guys can help me with is on this generator, it's $292,284. Is that considered a match? Is that something that we're doing to, is there matching that needs to happen here or I'm just wondering why that wasn't included in the original PUF.
Let me describe that to you. When we created the original PUF plan, there isn't a legal or statutory requirement because the PUFs are licensed differently than inpatient hospitals are for emergency power. But as we developed this broader plan that's going to have a CSU, we're going to have the emergency team, and we're going to have the PUF there, it was our opinion that we needed emergency backup power. We have had some emergency issues at the site before, and behavioral health had to move a number of clients that were in residential care. So we come to you today in our recommendation here to purchase and install a generator as a part of the crisis stabilization project. But really, in fairness, only a portion of the cost of that is eligible for grant funding. So we're asking to use some existing county budgeted funds to pay for the remainder of the generator system, so we can have a backup generator at this location, given the more robust use now at this location than there has been since it was a hospital many years ago.
Okay, and I'm just curious, is that kind of customer, I wonder if out at clause? Do they have a backup generator? Do they have, okay, good. Makes me feel better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is a win-win-win solution if we can get this stabilization unit up. First of all, mental illness is a serious problem in our community, and everybody's right. We don't have enough resources to tackle the problem. By getting the stabilization unit up, we will get the patients out of the emergency rooms where they don't belong into a PUF or a stabilization unit where they do belong and get them treatment as fast as we possibly can. Right now we're spending so many taxpayer dollars by hospitalizing these patients when sometimes they don't need to be. And so it's a win for the county, it's a win for the patient,
yeah,
and it's a win for the emergency rooms. And it's, I'm just impressed with what you've come up with. I hope the state of California recognizes what a great proposal this is, and let's get moving.
I do would agree with Supervisor O'Brien. This is something that's badly needed. It provides a level of service at a low level of cost. Keeping these people out of the emergency room, off the street, and out of jail is with the goal here at a very reasonable cost. We've done a very good job on this.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Is there a motion?
Excuse me, I'll just say one word. Thank you. Job well done. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
The motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried unanimously.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We have no scheduled matters today. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a notice from the Western Area Power Administration regarding public scoping meetings for the San Luis transmission projects that will pass through Stanislaus County.
I refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development and the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a copy of the State Board of Equalization's annual report for fiscal year 2012-13.
Acknowledge receipt of the report.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Commerce, National Oceanic, and the Atmospheric Administration regarding the environmental review of the reintroduction of the Central Valley Spring Run Chinook salmon to the San Joaquin River below the Freyet Dam.
Before the Department of Environmental Resources and the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a proclamation from the Governor Brown recalling for the statewide direct primary election on Tuesday, June 3rd, 2014.
Report of the Clerk, Recorder, and Registrar of Voters.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports today? Okay, seeing none, legislative and fiscal management report, Mr. Eisen.
Thank you, Chairman. Governor Brown last week introduced his proposed budget for the 2014-15 year. As expected, the state is projecting an increase in revenues, and as such, is Governor Brown's budget included a $2.3 billion reserve built into it, largely driven by personal income taxes that are up as a result of the 2013 stock market rally. Of that $2.3 billion, $1.6 billion is proposed to go into a rainy day fund, and the general fund would have a reserve of about $700 million. Also included in the budget was an attempt to build down what he's referred to as a wall of debt by a $6 billion deferred payment under Prop 98 to the schools and $4 billion pay down of economic recovery bonds. Of interest here to us at the county level, the governor's proposed $670 million in new spending to pay for expanded health, mental health and substance abuse treatment, nutrition programs, and dental services. In-home supportive services would be receiving a 6% increase. Fortunately, we have now have a cap on our IHSS costs that's subject to just a 3% escalator. I was pleased to see that the budget also includes an additional $500 million for SB 1022 type jail construction projects. And one area that we do have of concern, the governor has also proposed that all county jail felony sentences be split sentences now unless the court finds that it's in the interest of justice to impose a straight sentence. So we'll have to monitor that one closely. Normally, governor's January proposed budget lays out his ideas. It's the May revise that we most closely watch, because most of the time what we will end up with in June and July reflects what was in the May revise. That concludes my report.
Okay, we will now adjourn to a closed session. Sorry.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. This involves one matter concerning a claim by Protect Our Water and Environmental Resources that water well permits were issued without compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act. We do not expect to report out on this matter.
This meeting stands adjourned.